Breaking news. Hannah, this is for you too.
Mm. Oh yes, I'm on the tip of my toes. No. Edge of my seat.
Recently, my friends were visiting from Toronto, and we were walking around the Lower East Side and stumbled around into Dimes Square. I was like showing them this restaurant I wanted to show them. And we walked past this girl. She's dressed in like really bright colors, whatever, whatever. And I was like, wow, she looks really cool. Like, that girl's so beautiful. Like, in my head, I was like, wow, this girl looks so good. We walk by, and then we get to the bottom of the block, and my friend, Shanat, is like, wait, was that Addison Rae? And I was like, girl, no, calm down. It's not Addison Rae. Don't be weird. Just, like, girls look like that. They dress like that. She was like, no, I really think it is. So then she and my friend Claire circled back around, and I kind of, like, trailed behind them because I get really stressed in these situations. But they circled back around and went up the block again, and I like peeked over, and lo and behold, Shanat is like talking to this girl and her friend, and she basically went up to her and was like, hey, do you ever get that you look like Addison Rae? Shanat is the bravest person on earth. All I want to say is this, because that is crazy. She's like, do you ever get that you look like Addison Rae? And then this girl kind of blushed, and then Shanat was like, wait, are you Addison Rae? And the girl was nodding basically and was like, yes, I am. I'm telling this story so badly. She basically was Addison Rae. She was just simply sitting on the curb with her friend and just like going about her day. I think she was drinking like a matcha or something. And she looked so cool. She had like weird kind of like stripey like leg warmers on, I want to say. And that's kind of like off the shoulder top. And like this like really nice like big thick like headband on. She looked really good. And she told Shanat that she had tiny feet, which she does because Shanat is 4'11", I believe. And then she told her she had really pretty eyes. And Claire and I were kind of like cowering in the background because we were like, oh no. And it really made me be like, wow, I'm so not courageous.
You were so close to Addison Rae becoming our best friend.
I know, I was so close. It was during like a Charlie XCX played 4 concerts here at Barclays Center. I went to one of them with my friends. She like sold out every night. And I think Addison Rae, I don't know if she brought her on stage, but maybe that's why she was here.
I'm sure she did. She like makes an appearance at so many of her shows, I feel like.
Or the Met Gala too. Did she go to the Met Gala?
I don't think so.
That's insane that they didn't invite her. That is bad taste. Like, you guys have bad taste. They always have bad taste, but like, I'm like, why is Walton Goggins here? But like, Addison Rae is not? Excuse me.
Addison Rae's been to the Met Gala. Who wouldn't invite Addison Rae? Of course she was invited. She was just probably busy.
Oh, I see. Well, that'd be nice to think that. I hope that's the case. Yeah, it was very exciting to see her and felt like a beautiful realization of my greatest interest, which is Addison Rae.
Are we excited for the album, y'all? Y'all? Did I just say y'all?
Did you just say y'all?
I said y'all.
There is this big thing with white people in like leftist communities saying y'all who like aren't from the South. Have you noticed this?
Of course.
But why? What is it?
I don't know. Maybe y'all is like a gender neutral term. Guys,
isn't I guess so. Maybe it's like not like you guys, I suppose.
But also, I don't know. Even the word y'all coming out of my mouth just then felt so disingenuous that like I couldn't even like let it live down without recanting it.
No, I'm glad you booked yourself and I booked you too, because that was really funny.
No, it would be very out of character.
She's trying something out, guys. She's trying something out. Just like Addison Rae is trying out with all her new little looks and aesthetics.
Does Addison Rae not remind you? Okay, remember I made you watch Music and Lyrics, the Hugh Grant movie?
Oh, yes.
And the pop star actually slayed. Like, her songs are good. And she was kind of like a diva. But like in a way that Addison Rae feels to me.
She's like a fun, nice character. Yeah. I mean, I guess.
I love the pop songs from that movie.
They didn't resonate with me as much. But I understand where you're coming from. And you're seen and you were heard and you were valid.
It's this type of pop music. If I had the language to describe it, then I would. But like, there's like this kind of hyper produced, but really, I don't know, it just clicks so nicely in your brain. And it reminds me a bit of some like blackout era Britney. Anyways, I'm excited for the album is all.
I too am excited. Y'all.
Y'all.
So we come to you today with another episode. I'm excited about this episode. It is once again about the incel world, which I find endlessly fascinating, if not quite terrifying. But I did have quite a lot of fun researching it and just throwing myself into the depths of the internet's darkest corners, because that's what we do here. Maybe we should have like an alternate rehash called something else, and it's like the dark internet version of rehash, like oh, the dark web. Yeah, remember when You're Wrong About did a whole episode about snuff films? I was like, that's so brave.
You want to watch snuff films?
No, they already did it.
I'm excited. I'm intrigued. I feel like looks maxing is something that I've generally avoided, as with a lot of incel culture. If I don't have to engage with it, I won't. So I'm excited to kind of get your read on the situation.
Color me interested. I'm Aya.
And I'm Hannah.
And this is Rehash, a podcast about the internet phenomena that strike a nerve in our culture, only to be quickly forgotten, but we think are due for a revisiting. This season is about beauty on the internet. Social media may have snatched our faces, but has it also snatched our souls? If you like our show and want to hear more from us, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rehashpodcast, where we have bonus episodes, weekly mini episodes, and early access to our regular programming. If you don't want to join the Patreon, feel free to rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that helps us out a lot. Hannah Dole, what is looks maxing, and when and where did you first hear the term?
Looks maxing, I believe, is a term within the incel community, which refers to, I guess, just trying to make yourself look the best that you can. But for some reason, they've like added maxing because, I don't know, adding like something like max or like to the max feels very Hot Wheel car coded to me. I don't know how to explain it. It feels like something from like a boys cartoon where there's like a guy on a skateboard.
Yeah, there's like flames attached to the word or something.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally, totally. And he's got like a dog. And the dog's got his tongue out. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Are you thinking like Max from the Goofy movies?
No, not that kind of a dog. Like the dog is like a cool dog.
Oh, he's like a sunglasses wearing dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just feels like a birthday card you buy for your nephew. That's when I hear something maxing. But I believe that it's the practice of just trying to enhance your physical appearance in order to ascend from inceldom. When did I first hear it? I don't fully know. It feels like one of those things that just like slowly has like seeped its way into like internet jargon, that it's kind of hard to know if I heard about it from like people kind of spoofing on the concept of looks maxing, or if I actually learned about it like through some reporting on incels, but I can't pinpoint. I feel like I was born knowing looks maxing.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure where I first heard it either, but you are right on the money. It is indeed a way to ascend from inceldom, and it is indeed a way to optimize your looks. I do love that you think it's like boy branded, because, well, famously it is. Yeah, so yeah, it's a term that was originated by the incel community, you're right, to describe the practice of optimizing or like enhancing one's looks in order to be more appealing to women, or entrap them, as many incels would have it, and thus achieve higher social status. It's essentially a glow up, but rebranded, like you're saying, in a boy way. Originally, it was specific to men, and of course, like, you know, for it to justify its existence in male circles, it needs like a heavy dose of pseudoscience to back it up.
Nice.
The term is a mashing together of the words looks and max, if you didn't catch on already. Max is like a suffix used typically in role-playing games to describe like developing a single character trait. If there are any Dungeons and Dragons players listening, feel free to comment like how exactly you'd use this term in like a tabletop RPG. Like, would you say, I'm wisdom maxing? I used to play Dungeons and Dragons like periodically, but I haven't played in years, so I honestly don't remember. I actually had a campaign going with Hannah for a while there.
Yeah, I was a giant named Reese Witherspoon.
Do you remember what I was?
No.
I was the same thing every time I played Dungeons and Dragons. I was a dwarf.
named?
Oh, I actually can't remember. But basically, I would play the dwarf because, like, I was actually really bad at the strategy aspect of D&D. So I was just there to, like, bring the vibes. So I would just kind of, like, put on a strange voice and make jokes for the entirety of every campaign I played and do really badly at everything else.
As you should. I think I also was just there to be like, this is goofy, ha ha ha. I can't imagine I was a very adept D&Der.
I remember Hannah and I both specifically, it was like a big group of us, but like Hannah and I specifically being quite annoying.
Because we were doing the campaigns with our boyfriends at the time who I think were trying to take it seriously. And we were like, ha ha.
We'd also be like drinking while we played. Like, we'd order pizza and like drink. It was very fun. But I'd always get kind of like tipsy halfway through. So I just like kind of forget what we were doing. So no one should play with me.
Don't play a board game with me because I'm either going to be really competitive or if I'm bad at it, I'm going to like make it not fun for you because I'll be goofing around.
I will ruin your night.
Basically.
But yeah, the term originated in now... sorry, back to incels. So the term originated in now defunct incel forums like Pickup Artist Hate, Slut Hate, and Lookism. They're like various forum-based websites. And it is still widely used among the community today in newer forums and subreddits. But something happened to Looksmaxing recently that has not made the incels very happy. Can you guess what that is?
Has it gone mainstream?
Yes, exactly. We'll get to that though. More on incels first, because there's so much to unpack here. What is the ideal that you think these men are trying to attain? And like, what are some of the things you think men are doing in order to get it? Like the beauty ideal that they want.
I know it's like traits that they consider masculine. I don't really necessarily know like where the original inspirations for some of this are, but it's the jawline, like having like the kind of wider jaw, more defined jaw. I'm sure there's something to do with like the forehead composition or like having it be proportional to something. I guess it's like handsome Squidward. I don't know. Like having like masculine but symmetrical features, basically, quote unquote masculine. I feel like there's a lot of square features going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people will run themselves through these like AI generators that kind of maximize, like they'll take a photo of their face and put it into this like filter that morphs the face more and more slowly into that ideal. It's like somewhere in the middle of that, they start to look, at least to me, very attractive. But then by the end, it's just like so over the top. Yeah, the jawline is like hexagonal. It's giving a trapezoid.
I famously have like a very distinct jawline. And I asked my Yid, did she think incels would be jealous of my jawline? And do you think they would be?
Oh my God, everyone would tell me to kill myself if I posted my chin incel forum. You know, I mean, I'm a girl, so I get treated differently with my chin. But yeah, people would be really mean to me about my chin.
Well, one of the privileges of womanhood.
Yeah, one woman of the many privileges.
You beautiful chin.
Oh, Hannah. I love Hannah. Okay, so the goal is to look as close to an alpha male as possible. You're right. Just like traditional markers of masculinity, but kind of to an extreme, like a bit dysmorphic almost. So like yeah, having a sharp jawline, a hard muscular body, good posture, something they call a positive canthal tilt, which is when like the outer corner of the eyes is angled upwards. Incels call these hunter eyes, which they think comes from like the animal world idea that like predators have forward-facing eyes and prey have eyes on the sides of their head. Yes, Hannah? She's raising her hand.
This just reminds me of the fox eye trend on TikTok amongst yes. women.
You're going to see a lot of parallels, like a one-for-one parallel between like some sort of female beauty standard and some sort of like incel
but
beauty
it's
standard.
Like, it's like, okay, this is literally giving birthday cards for boys and girls where it's like the cards my brothers would get versus with me. And it's like the same kinds of elements, but like they're different things.
Well, it's like buying deodorant and my deodorant's like, oh, sweet honey lavender, and man deodorant's like machine grease.
Yeah, machine grease. Would that not be such a good band name if we started like a hardcore band?
My band in high school was called Pussy Destroyer. And I think that's the only type of band name I would ever go with from then on. I can't think, I could never conceive of a different one. Also, incels would love that.
That sounds like an incel forum if I ever heard one.
Yeah, so they think, yeah, hunter eyes are coming. A lot of this is just based in like, oh, you know, like the mathematics of the face, like the aesthetics of the face.
Incels are very women in STEM coded in that they're always trying to do science. They're like, in order for me to express that I want to be attractive or have insecurities, I need to make it a scientific thing to justify it because I'm so afraid of saying I want to be pretty.
Wait, why does that make them women in STEM? Hannah's obsessed with alienating our STEM women listeners.
Guys, this was a joke. Because it's funny to call an incel woman in STEM coded because...
they would be so offended. Yeah. So the idea is like hunter eyes coming from the animal world idea that like predators have forward facing eyes, prey have eyes on the sides of their heads to like see things coming. But like, yeah, so the cancel tilt along with like having like hooded eyelids and like a furrowed brow, they think is like has this magical ability to like lure women who of course are prey. So looks maxing has been separated into two categories. There is soft maxing and there is hard maxing. What do you think are some examples of soft maxing, Hannah? To explain, like soft maxing is like the affordable, more external option to looking better. Pretty like classic beauty regimens.
Yeah, I would say maybe like growing a beard, then maintaining that beard, making it look nice, getting some beard oil up in there. A good... but like simple skincare routine. Like we're not getting crazy. We're not going to do anything girly or gay, but like we're going to put some like cedar wood scented thing on our face. Oh mama,
you'd be surprised. You would be surprised at how, you don't even know how complicated it can get.
Oh man. Let's see. I don't know what else. Like maybe like, do they do their eyebrows?
Oh yes. We will be talking about eyebrow maxing.
Do they do anything to their eyelashes?
Not so much eyelashes that I've heard of, but I'm sure they have something about, like, eyelashes.
Luring. I love a man with long eyelashes. So pretty.
They always have long eyelashes. Every single guy I've ever dated has, like, triple the length of eyelashes than me. And I'm like, that and is so rude. And they're, like,
dark, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Dark, beautiful, and, like, curled. Naturally. So rude. Yeah, it's stuff like skincare. These guys were honestly talking about retinol and retinoids, like, very early on. I feel like they were kind of ahead of the curve, strangely.
Damn.
Putting product in your hair, teeth whitening, exercising. There's mewing, which is this pseudoscientific practice where that was widely debunked by the dental world, which was originated by this British orthodontist named John Mew, where, like, you push your tongue to the top of your palate.
I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's to slowly improve the shape of your jaw. Hannah doesn't need that because she has a fuck-ass jawline if I have ever seen one. I'm so jealous.
You're going to make the incels too jealous of me and then they'll hate me for more than one reason.
Or you could become an incel icon, which we will also talk about. Yeah, mewing is really popular on TikTok where like people will post these like before and after mewing videos where the first photo they have this like kind of soft rounded face and then in the second one their face is like super snatched. It's, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
Do you think incels gua sha?
They do. They put a lot of emphasis on gua sha-ing, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and like jade rolling, etc. And then there's hard maxing, which is obviously the more extreme and like expensive stuff. So that would include steroid use, hair transplants, invasive plastic surgery. Like some of these guys are getting like jaw implants and like ribs removed. Penis pumping, which scares me so, it sounds so painful.
Well, also, wait, why are incels getting ribs removed? Isn't more bones manlier? Are they trying to fit into a corset? Like, I don't understand. Well, the male
body standard, like, just, like, having, like, big shoulders and, like, chest, but then, like, kind of a more snatched waist and hard abs down there. So maybe that's right. It? I don't know. Yeah, penis pumping, which I don't know if that really gives you a visceral reaction, but it, like, hurts me.
Thought that was, like, a myth. Like, I feel like that was a plot line on some kind of teen TV show. Maybe, like, Degrassi or something. Like, someone buys a penis pump, and it's, like, something you buy online at 3 a.m.
Men who listen to us, the, like, two of you who do, can you tell us, is penis pumping supposed to be scary? Is it supposed to hurt you? Like, I don't understand. Like, well, does it hurt?
Definitely hurts, but also, like, what could it possibly achieve?
Does it hurt? I don't know.
I'm gonna just go out on a limb and say, ouch.
Bigger penis, mama, bigger penis. They call it jelk maxing. There's bone smashing, which means hitting your face really hard or like sometimes actually breaking bones. Yeah, it's bad. Just like try and change your bone structure. There's edge maxing. I guess this could probably be under soft maxing, but edge maxing, which is just like no nut vibes. I feel like that's kind of soft maxing. Like, apparently it makes you glow or something because you're like so full of cum. Oh wait, it's
part of the beauty regimen.
Yes, doll. It makes you young, dumb, and full of cum.
Oh my god, the Keanu effect.
The Keanu effect, yeah. Starve maxing, which is quite literally just having an eating disorder. And white maxing. Want to take a stab?
I can only imagine, yeah.
Yeah. The incel community is genuinely very diverse. This involves obviously attempting to look more white, which I find kind of fascinating because, like, even going back to skinny talk, like, I don't know, beauty standards are so racist anyways. So I'm kind of like, okay, at least they're just, like, putting it all out on the table. Like, let's not even pretend that these beauty standards aren't Eurocentric.
Well, yeah, the one thing about incels is that they famously don't mince words.
Yeah, the female beauty world can never, mama.
No.
But no, it's definitely bad.
Yes.
If I didn't have to make that clear. So any episode about incels unfortunately requires us to produce a glossary of jargon used by the community for any of you to even, like, understand what we're talking about. So to explain looks maxing, we do have to explain the wider incel worldview that led them to create such a term. So one of the main things that incel ideology is predicated on is the 80-20 rule. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's essentially the assumption that, like, 80% of women only go for 20% of men, and then thus rate the other 80% of men as unworthy of dating. This has been taken from, like, various, like, alleged studies and, like, dating app statistics, which suggest that women get more matches on apps than men do, on apps like Tinder and Hinge. I do think this is true. Like, I do think that women are, on average, probably matching with more people than men are. But I don't think it's as black and white as, like, women just think all men are ugly and unworthy of their time. So just, like, slight tangent, but what do you think the reason for women getting more matches could be?
Well, from my experience of being a woman on a dating app, I've found that when I decide to be proactive and like men on the apps, I don't often match with them. Whereas, like, I mean, not to toot my own horn or anything, but, like, I get a nice amount of likes on Hinge, but
yeah, girl.
I feel like sometimes guys where I'm like, I feel like, and of course I can't read their mind, and maybe this is just projection, but, like, guys where I'm like, I feel like this is someone who would probably like me on Hinge, but I feel like even by me liking them, somehow it's, like, given them the ick or something, which maybe, again, that's just conjecture. Maybe I'm saving my ego, but I have talked to guys I know about it, and they're like, some of them have been like, you know, it is kind of nice to be the one pursuing, which I just think, again, it's, like, this really ingrained, like, gender role in the courting process that, like, I don't know. I think that as much as we tell ourselves we've moved past, we haven't. It's just ingrained in there. So I would say it's a little bit of that. I think even men who aren't incels still have, like, retrograde ideas that they should be the one pursuing women. Like, they want to chase and don't want to be chased.
Totally. Yeah. I've heard from men I know being like, yeah, it kind of gives me the ick when I get the message first, even though I know that's wrong. And it's like, ugh, like, that sucks. But yeah, I've also found that when I'm, like, more of the active pursuer on these apps, like, it doesn't go over well. I'm not getting hit after hit. You know, sometimes some guys like forwardness, but I don't think that's, like, sustainable even, because the things that have started romantically for me that, because I've been forward, don't actually end up being, like, sustainable because, yeah, ultimately it is this culturally ingrained, like, courting ritual of, like, men being the chasers, even if they think that they don't want to be. Like, it's so, or they think they aren't, or don't have that mindset. It's so, yeah, I think that it's a super deeply ingrained. I also think, like, women have been trained in, like, a strictly visual culture. Like, we've been conditioned to know how to play to a camera, how to construct our looks in a certain way that's not really taught to men as much. Like, thinking of men curating images of themselves for a dating app, it's like men very rarely have these hot pics of themselves. I think male sexuality is less visual in our culture, heterosexually. And so if we're using, like, a photo-based app to judge people as, like, romantic or sexual partners, women are going to be more adept at playing that game.
Totally.
So incels think that the 80-20 rule is rooted in a few things, one of them being lookism, which is the belief that men are socially discriminated against based on their looks. Lookism kind of applies more generally to just, like, people, but of course when it's talked about with incels, it's about men. And then hypergamy, which is the idea that when women are looking for long-term relationships, they date above their status, like rich men, essentially, and then will, like, sometimes date within their own league or, like, below their own league when they're looking for something more short-term. But in all cases, according to incels, incels are left out of that equation. We've already talked about incels in an earlier episode about gym cells, which is, like, incels who work out to ascend out of inceldom, and it does follow under, like, the larger umbrella of looks maxing. So I don't need to hone in too much here about how warped and reductive these belief systems are, but in short, just to get it out there so that you guys know that we're not advocating for this. This ideology presumes that all women are, like, fitting the beauty standard and having sexual agency, which, like, not to worry, love, plenty of women out there are not getting laid at all. It also functions with a level of, like, sexual entitlement that women exist to mate with and please men, which ignores the concept of gay women entirely, and also presumes that these guys aren't getting laid solely because they have subpar bone structure and not because of their, like, I don't know, their fucking personalities.
Whatever mood we're in, we like to surround ourselves with things that match it. Whether that's watching a tearjerker when we're feeling blue, or listening to the right music to get inspired. It's important to curate the right vibe. That's why we're excited to partner with Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC products right to your door. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. And with our promo code REHASH, you can get 20% off your first order on mood.com. Whether that's mind magic gummies for deep work and creativity, sleepy time to get you settled for a restful night, or chill out for some needed relaxation. Sure, you can get THC gummies just about anywhere these days, but why not personalize it? Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorsteps. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code REHASH. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code REHASH when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
So in the Gym Cells episode, we talked about how Gym Cells come at odds with a lot of other people in the incel world who have taken the proverbial black pill. Do you remember what the black pill is, Hannah?
Is that like, it's like the nihilistic turn that they, is that it?
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Yeah, the black pill is the idea that like society is unfairly structured to favor women and there's nothing that can be done to change that. And the most extreme advocates for the black pill advocate for suicide or incelicide, also known as going ER, like in the forums. ER stands for Elliot Roger, who's...
I'm sorry, we're talking right now on WhatsApp, and as Maya was explaining what going ER was, a bunch of animated balloons just blew up like from behind her, like,
that's so
thanks to WhatsApp. Scary. Like the worst timing too, and we don't know what triggered that.
I was doing like air quotes because I do this to Hannah a lot when I'm talking and you guys can't see it, but like I'm doing them right now and it's not coming up. That was very scary. So ER stands for Elliot Roger, who was the incel who murdered a bunch of people in Isla Vista in 2014 before killing himself. Similar to working out and bodybuilding, looks maxing is considered a form of, like Hannah said, de-incelization, a way to no longer be an incel, which challenges the black pill because it puts forth this idea that you can change your situation. So it's a bit of a schism within the world of incels. So I want us to take a little dive into some looks maxing forums to get a sense of like the general vibe on there. The way it goes down typically is that like someone will post a selfie of themselves and then ask to be rated and then ask what they can do to look better. Some black pillars will respond telling them that they're ugly and that they should just end it now. But like other people will just give genuine advice. And then some of the posts are just like actual just advice posts. So Hannah, I'm going to have you read a couple posts from these forums and just like let me know what you think of them. I'm also going to send you the link so you can see what it looks like. So here's a post called The Ultimate Fat Loss Guide. Hannah, do you want to read out just this little part of it?
We all know lean maxing is the number one looks max. It is the only looks max that can give a surgery tier ascension. I'm shocked when I receive a PM from someone who has been here for years and has not even completed step one. They look like they've been bulking for the past 2 years instead. It obviously isn't as easy as just put the fork down, bro, for most people. Otherwise, you would all be dick skin shredded with veins running up your abdomen. So we will look at all the methods here to actually achieve a shredded body, which is a foundation of all LooksMax endeavors. Hey, put down the fork, bro.
These boys are very pro-Anna. In this thread, he recommends drugs like clenbuterol. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a fat-burning drug that raises your metabolic rate, which is strictly used on livestock in the U.S. Not on humans, on livestock. Ooh. And then he recommends the two... I'm not a STEM girly, so if I read this wrong, sorry. He recommends the 2,4-dinotrophenol, which is used to make explosives and pesticides. It can help with weight loss, but there's been a lot of studies talking about how it's also very fatal, or can be very fatal and poisonous. He also recommends calorie tracking, water fasting, and protein-sparing diets. So literally Liv Schmidt on steroids. Here's one called Why Even LooksMax? On this one, this guy compares a picture of the side profile of like a perfectly cute guy, like genuinely like a pretty good looking man, with like a photoshopped version of that same guy as like a Chad. He basically poses like, okay, if these two guys asked the question to a girl, would you put on that cute outfit for me tonight? Like each one of them would get a different response because they like look different. And then he says this. Do you want to read this one, Hannah?
Guys, if you made a girl laugh today, because you know you have to entertain a girl knowing otherwise she wouldn't give a shit about you. And you're ugly. She'll go home tonight without a lasting thought of you in her mind. The brutal truth. This is reality. Speaking to all the virtue-signaling, blue-pilled bullshitters that consistently try to tell you otherwise. Only when aware of the truth can you address the issue. Users, please post any black-pilled material you have within this thread so we can further drill this view into people's heads. Jesus Christ. So they're basically saying, like, don't even try to have a good personality and hope you can win girls over through that.
Yeah, he also concludes that post with, like, a super anti-Semitic remark. Because, like, of course, just for good measure, may as well, I suppose.
Two birds, one stone. Yeah, cover your bases.
The responses in the thread are also kind of interesting. I'll just, like, read a couple out. The first person says, it's not like, it's a little ESL, but they're like, shh, let us ascend and others diving down. Like essentially saying like, don't share this information. Someone says, no positive mindset or personality for your eye area. You could be the most positive person ever, yet your face could look ugly and you would instantly be assumed to be a sad and angry person. Resting bitch face, I guess, is what they're getting at. Someone said, TBH, I hate those red-pilled, F slur, more than the blue pillars. They would call us gay, unmanly, beta, and victim mindset for saying looks matter and actually trying to improve it. I think he's actually mad about the black pillars, so I don't understand what he's saying here. Someone says, brutal. If you need to waste your energy to entertain a girl, it's fucking over. Someone else says, been there, done that. They cheat, too, and I beat the fuck out of two of them for it.
Cool.
Let's just, yeah, giving you guys a sense of who is in here. It is like a wide range of people, which we'll see with these other posts. Someone said, looks maxing should be a fucking secret. I hate and despise everybody that tries to make it public. All our efforts would have no purpose if everybody looks maxed. Which I am like, yeah, I mean, if you're all hot, what's going to happen to the 80-20 rule? Like, you're trying to join the 20%, but the 20% is going to grow if you're all hot.
Also, don't these boys know how, you know, precarious beauty standards can be? You're all going to get plastic surgery and then the male version of Kim Kardashian is going to like get rid of his chin implants and you're all going to be fucked.
Male BBL, like, come on, guys. Yeah. There is a chiller one called Eyebrow Maxing Guide that I sent you, Hannah, where this person uses like a photoshopped picture of Zac Efron with no eyebrows on to explain the importance of eyebrows and looks maxing. And he just like kind of like recommends some hair thickening products with like Amazon links attached. He provides like graphs to explain like the scientific importance of like shape, tilt, and length of eyebrows and why that matters, which it was really giving for me. Ladies, your eyebrows are sisters, not twins.
Absolutely. Like, they don't understand how girl-coded all of this is.
Oh, yes. And we will talk about that. He also recommends, like, muscle tricks to make your eyebrows appear higher on your face, because apparently that's more attractive, which I thought, like, a low furrowed brow was more masculine, so I'm kind of confused.
Again, because, like, that, again, is going back to the, like, fox eye of it all. Baby, you could get that.
Well, it is like these beauty trends are so extreme and so that they come back around in this gender circle to like meet each other in the middle where they're both femme.
Oh, for sure.
And then there's this kind of cute post somewhat. I'm not saying it is cute, but it's like cuter than the other ones because it's like clearly posted by someone who's in high school. It's called Slaying Guide. slaying here is not what you think it means. Slaying just means like kill count, get laid.
Like pussy destroying.
Like pussy destroying, exactly. It's super long, but I'm going to get you to read a couple excerpts from it.
Welcome to my guide for getting girls over snap without having to be neurotypical or low inhib.
I think it means low inhibition. Or no. I don't know.
If you have Asperger's, autism, social anxiety, or you just don't have a well-developed social circle, this guide is for you.
Wait, wait. I also just want to comment on the fact that, like, yes, a lot of incels are on the spectrum. And it's interesting because the community jumps between being, like, really inclusive of autistic people, because a lot of them are autistic, but then also making fun of it. It's fascinating to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. I guess there's also, I'm sure, like, making fun of autistic people isn't going to be challenged too much if the general universal experience of incels is that they all hate themselves. So they're probably not going to be like standing up for themselves because they're like, yeah, I am the worst, or I am whatever you're saying about me.
Exactly.
Because your future quick ad recommendations will be directly correlated with your girls on Snap. I don't know what those words mean. If you start adding thousands of 25-year-old Indians on Snap, your entire recommendation page will be filled with, well, 25-year-old Indians.
Yeah, they're racist, especially towards Indians.
Yeah, clearly. I obviously can't recall if every single girl I met or kissed or whatever called me immediately good looking, but I'm estimating about 40% of them didn't instantly tell me they find me attractive.
Yeah, not all these guys are virgins, which I find kind of fascinating. Like, there are people who, like, are getting laid on here. So I'm like, why are you here? I don't know.
Because they don't have friends.
Also, looks maxing and inceldom, like, they aren't mutually exclusive, but there are looks maxers who aren't incels.
Okay. Like, there are squares that aren't, rectangles that aren't squares.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Now, after asking her a few questions, getting to know her, if you have a body halo or height halo, I highly recommend you show it off.
I think it just means having a nice one. I can't remember what halo means.
Okay, showing off body halo. Hey, you go to the gym? No, I don't. / yes, I do. What about you? Yes, I do. Want to see my physique? Never ever send dick pics, even if she asks for it, unless she sends you something before. Even then, you probably shouldn't send anything either, unless, of course, you've already met her IRL. Yeah, good call. Yeah, don't send unsolicited dick pics. Good job, incels.
But also just, like, it's, like, safety. Like, don't send, like, I don't know. It's fascinating.
Well, I guess they probably have a fear of being catfished.
Yeah, probably.
It is very possible to fuck on the first date, even if you are both 14. Oh my god.
Trust me. He literally goes, trust me. Even if you're both 14, you could fuck. Don't worry. I'm pretty sure he's like 15.
Oh lordy. If you use this method for over a month and got zero dates, you either have to go change your appearance so you look better or lower your standards. And if you think only sluts are on Snap, I highly disagree. A lot of non-social girls use Snap to get to know guys and have talking stages.
So what do you think of all these posts, Hannah? Like, what are you kind of getting from these guys?
This, to me, sounds like someone who, like, maybe has met a girl through Snapchat, but, like, very well could have not. I think there's a lot of probably, like, clout maybe within the community for speaking from, like, a place of expertise, even though, like, considering the fact that none of these guys are getting laid, none of them are really experts on getting laid, it's the whole point. But beyond that, I think it's very interesting that, like, before anything, they need, like, the instant gratification of being told that they're good looking. Like, they need to have this sort of external validation on their looks, and, like, that's how they measure the success of a conversation. Like, the idea of, like, 40% of them not telling him they instantly find him attractive. Like, I don't know. I'm not a 14-year-old on Snap, but, like, I've never texted somebody or, like, talked to someone from a dating app and, like, straight up, like, went into the way they look. I mean, like, I also feel like potentially we as women are, like, conditioned to not be, like, telling guys right off the bat that they're hot. So, like, if these guys are driving themselves mad because the girls aren't, like, instantly validating that, I don't really think that that's, like,
I find it fascinating because a lot of these people, from what I've seen in these forums, actually take being called fucking ugly really well. Like, a lot of them are like, thanks, man, that's what I thought. Like,
well, that's because they think they're ugly. Yeah.
And have, like, accepted that. That's why they're engaging in the looks maxing process. I don't know. It's, like, an interesting spectrum of people and beliefs on these sites. Like, of course, they're all joined together by misogyny, no doubt. But I don't know, like, even this guy being like, oh, you should lower your standards, like, that is kind of antithetical to the tenets of inceldom. Like, they don't think about standards. That's not really, like, a thing. They're not telling each other that. So I found that really interesting. I do think a lot of it is just, like, genuinely lonely, pretty young guys just asking for beauty advice. And then in that mix is a lot of, like, more misogynistic or, like, extreme people. And it's, like, it's hard to sift through. I think those people can be easily radicalized through that.
I think there's, like, there's something about being willing to be so vulnerable that you would put yourself out on the line and say, like, oh, I need advice on, like, how to talk to other people and, like, how to socialize with women or, like, how to endear myself to them. And so I don't know. I do think that you have people sort of, like, maybe at their most vulnerable and maybe the most likely then to sort of take any kind of advice because they're clearly, like, so lost that they, like, don't really have any sense of guidance. It's interesting.
This whole time I was researching, I was like, these looks maxing forums are just kind of like the twisted male version of, like, a 17 magazine or Cosmo, like, as you've been kind of picking up on. And it did make me wonder if men, and, like, especially young men, lack the media literacy around beauty that women have. Maybe they're in some ways, like, more susceptible to brainwashing and misinformation because they're not engaging in those conversations as young as we are. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think that's a good point, really. I think that also they don't taught the same media literacy, but they're also, like, the culture itself isn't really going out of its way to critique the kinds of, like, beauty expectations that we place on men in the same way either. I mean, for one, because, like, the male beauty standard has, for the most part, remained pretty consistent, or at least there's, like, some girls like this type of guy and some girls like that type of guy, and it's like you've got your skinny little arty guy or you've got your kind of, you know, more like Marvel superhero guy, and those have sort of been propped up as, like, the two beauty ideals for men since at least, like, the 90s,
you know? I thought you meant, like, Marvel fan. I was like a nerd.
Yes, incels. No, I think that there is the beauty standards that are placed on women are much more demanding and, like, insidious and sort of pushed on us from an earlier age a lot more hard. So I think there's, like, a good reason why we hone in on the way that, like, they're placed on women. But I do think that perhaps it has, like, meant that there are a lot of guys who never really got told the message that, like, yes, Captain America looks like that, but most women are not walking around and expecting you to look anything close to that. There's a reason he's Captain America. Have you seen the husband of most women? Always uglier, for the most part.
Busted.
The most beautiful woman in the world is married to a guy, and that's fine because he fulfills her in some other way. And the thing about women is we'll learn to love you.
We will learn to love you. But they don't think that. They're like, okay, well, those ugly guys have money.
Some of the brokest, most busted men are dating the finest women you've ever seen.
I mean, don't I know it? I wish they knew it. They don't know it. Or they choose not to.
I know. And I feel like we sound like incels by saying this, but it's just like I have literal empirical evidence from living in Toronto.
I have literal anecdotal evidence from people I know.
Yeah.
The ugly guys I know. No, I'm kidding. So there are these figures who have emerged as, like, idols or icons or, like, gurus of the looks maxing community. So this is so hard to link. Do you want to just look up Jordan Barrett?
Jordan Barrett. The fashion model? Is that who?
Yeah.
Lisa Rinna.
Yeah. So there's him, Jordan Barrett. There's Francisco Lachowski. I was, like, always reblogging pictures of Francisco Lachowski, like, on the internet. I was obsessed with him when I was, like, 14. No. He's just, like, a male model. And then there's this guy, Kareem Shami, who I'll talk about more. Incels call guys like Jordan Barrett and, like, Francisco Lachowski naturally occurring chads. I do think it's really interesting because someone like Barrett is actually quite feminine looking.
He has Lisa Rinna hair.
Yeah. He has, like, Lisa Rinna hair. It's, like, perfectly coiffed, like, longish kind of hair. And he has these, like, really glossy pink lips.
No buccal fat in sight.
Really intense, like, hunter eyes, as they say. So Jordan Barrett and Francisco Lachowski are more, like, idols for looks maxers. Just, like, these icons of alpha male masculinity. Kareem Shami, on the other hand, is the leading figure of this group of guys on TikTok who've become famous for selling the idea of, like, optimizing your looks, like the glow up, and have essentially amassed followings by posting those, like, before and after videos promoting mewing or whatever, when, like, most of the videos are just them hitting puberty and them not in puberty anymore. Like, I feel like if I showed you a picture from when I was 13 and a picture of me now, you'd also want to buy, like, whatever fucking hair gummies from me. You'd be like, wow.
I mean, same. It's like, yeah, we all like didn't look great at one point. And we've all had our ugly era.
You were figuring stuff out. It's hard to tell if these guys are grifters. Like, on the one hand, it's like abundantly obvious that they're just like genetically blessed and like trying to convince other boys that their like tongues will get them a new jaw and like making a lot of money off of that. But in most interviews I've watched with Shami, like, he does seem like really sweet and earnest. I think he's also quite young and has really like drank the Kool-Aid with this and like actually thinks he's helping people. I do think he really believes in what he's doing. But it's hard because he's also selling this process that is so fueled by, like, capitalism. Yeah, I don't know. One New York Times writer I was reading named Joseph Bernstein described it as the self-facing camera has finally turned the male gaze on itself, which I thought was true. The boys kind of found choice feminism or something.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of funny because it's, I'm sure we talked about this in the Gym Cells episode, but it's just this idea that women are unfortunately at the whim of like patriarchy in so many ways. And so much of, you know, what is fed to us is wrapped up around like what is desirable to men. Men are technically in the position to sort of determine those things. So the idea of like men sort of opting to,
in a sense, and like maybe this isn't fair because I'm sure there are like pressures for men on the aesthetics level, but like in many ways, opting to like be a part of like some sort of self-oppression, because like ultimately like women aren't really subjecting you to this. If anything, it's like the pressure coming from other men that is like pushing them to this place.
To be fair, I do think that women do talk about men's looks with a bit more impunity than I think men. There is like a type of woman on TikTok, this cohort of like normie women who are very intense about traditional male standards of like upholding a patriarchal standard, but again, that is coming from the patriarchy, so but no, I agree. So like I hinted at earlier, something recently happened with LooksMaxing that likely made the incel community pretty mad. Going through the forums, it's like pretty clear, as we saw, that there's a sentiment of keeping LooksMaxing a secret within the incel world. But with the rise of these LooksMaxing influencers like Shami, the term has kind of blown the fuck up on TikTok. When you look at it, it has like tons and tons of videos of people assessing their face shape or like posting glow up videos of all genders. It's kind of just like the glow up got a rebrand and now it's just called LooksMaxing. They're like interchangeable. And each of those videos has like hundreds of thousands of views. It's such a mainstay on TikTok that the app features a warning when you search it, telling you that you're more than your weight.
Same with skinny talk.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering about that when you were talking about it. Yeah. And it also provides like a definition for the term. The r/LooksMaxing subreddit now has over 100,000 members and is no longer, you know, full of men telling each other to get life-altering surgery or kill themselves. Now it's like full of people of all genders again. Someone will ask how to change their appearance and then everyone will just be like, you're beautiful the way you are. And it does seem to be made up mostly of just like self-conscious teenagers, just judging from the photos. Looking at the subs rules was also interesting. Like it says women under the age of 18 aren't allowed to post, but boys are. No racism is one of the rules. And then no extreme simping. So it's kind of like a hybrid of old and new a little bit.
That's really funny.
So I'd like to use the rest of this episode as kind of an opportunity to discuss why men these days might be so obsessive about beauty regimens, without like validating the idea that it's because the world is unfairly slanted towards women. Like, what is it about this current time that we're in that would lead LooksMaxing to be invented by men in the first place in this way and then become so pervasive on the internet in general? Because I was like, oh yeah, the LooksMaxing subreddit is much more diverse now and like positive. But then it's at the end of the day still called LooksMaxing and it's about LooksMaxing. So it's like, I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. So to start, can you see maybe how this like recent political turn would embolden or like affect the type of beauty standards that are espoused in LooksMaxing? Does it kind of make sense that LooksMaxing would really take off in the past few months the way it has?
I just think that the Trump administration this time around is sort of coming at a time where we were already moving towards, but then maybe is accelerating the speed of us returning to almost cartoonish versions of the gender binary, where it's like traditional gender roles, yes, but played up in a way that like hasn't really been culturally relevant since the 1950s. And it's almost like people are playing, like there's a lot of like gender play, which is very interesting. And then also, of course, with like all of the anti-trans legislation that's being put into place and like all of the sort of
rampant transphobia right now in the States, I think there's also like a need for men to like affirm their masculinity and their gender in a physical way.
It's actually interesting because there's a thing called tranny maxing that I was reading about, where it like talks about like incels transitioning in order to find romantic or like sexual connection, I guess you could say. It's weird. I don't know if that's actually practiced.
There is a bit of like a gender affirmingness, right, in choosing to like have more masculinizing surgeries, that like that is a practice that is done throughout the trans community, like having plastic surgery that like helps you feminize or like masculinize your face. But I think there's just like on the right, like a really big push towards eliminating also like any gender ambiguity. And they're like, this is what a man looks like and this is what a woman looks like.
No, definitely. I think that's like a huge part of it. I also think that there's a huge rise in conservatism among Gen Z and like Gen Alpha boys. Again, with like the Your Body, My Choice people. There was a show recently called Adolescence, which I haven't seen yet. But like, yeah, it's all about that. But basically, like, yeah, like you're saying, we're seeing this extreme entrenching of the gender binary, but we're also seeing like a correlation between a leader who is on record as being quite misogynistic and has several assault allegations, that, and then this uptick in misogyny among young boys. And like, obviously, the incel community has been growing for some time, like Andrew Tate, blah, blah, blah. But it feels like this is all kind of coalescing to create the perfect storm. I was also thinking, like, I don't know, within this new regime, it's definitely operating in some like authoritarian ways. You know, it's not hard to notice elements of like fascist talking points and like belief systems within looks maxing. The population of actual white supremacist incels is quite small. They're called storm cells. But I was finding in a lot of these forums, you know, for example, men placing an emphasis on getting like white blonde women and like European blonde women. White maxing, for example, you know.
Yeah.
There's also like a lot of veneration of Rome in the manosphere and like classical imagery. It's somewhat like homoerotic worshipping of the Roman body, which, you know, was a big point of focus for the Third Reich. This veneration of like classicism. Yeah. I don't know. There's just this focus on like bodily uniformity and like scientific applications to aesthetics in these spaces that just kind of like smells of fascism on top of the extreme traditionalism of the gender norms. Yeah.
And also there's just, yeah, the idea of like kind of optimizing your body for war in a sense, which is like basically what you're trying to do is like look like a Roman soldier or something. I think that like also reinforces this idea that we're in a culture war, but also like I think that there are people on the right who like to glorify or like romanticize this idea that we might be on the verge of some kind of like actual war, or like to kind of entertain.
I mean, the South has been waiting for one for so long.
Yeah.
In this paper on the parallels between incel culture and fascism, this scholar Sarah Held has this quote where she says, "All of this happens under the watchful, penalizing gaze of the online communities, and in the hope of gaining a more standard and uniform attractiveness, the cold and ungracious judgment of chin lines, eye wrinkles, nose bridges, eyebrow shape, and muscle distribution is sanctioned with a military militancy and is carried out under meticulous assessment." And I think things have just gotten only more pronounced as things move further and further right. Another thing I was thinking about was, do you think this period of like economic turmoil that we're in would also have an impact on looks maxing becoming more popular?
I guess if men feel like, okay, they can't win women over with their wallets, which, okay, it's so funny because there's like so many theories about how in more precarious like economic periods, like women place more emphasis on the way that they look because you want to be able to secure yourself like financially, basically. And so there's a few different like theories for why like beauty sales go up during recessions. One of them is that it's like an affordable luxury, but the other is that like women are trying to be more attractive in both the workplace and like in dating lives and whatever. So it's sort of interesting to think about the reversal of that, that like maybe men are like, well, like, if I can't like be rich enough to get like a woman I'm attracted to, then like I'll make myself her physical equal, I guess.
Oh, interesting. An equality aspect. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, it's actually kind of really empowering and like levels the playing field.
So. It's actually all about equality. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Children holding hands.
I do think when I was in the forums, I was seeing this like really strong correlation between like the way incels and like the wider manosphere place so much value on wealth and the value they place on looks. Like they're very interchangeable and like they come up together very frequently. in this one article from The Cut that interviews a bunch of incels, it quotes one of them, this like 21-year-old virgin, as saying, "I feel like inequality in humans is like the greatest source of misery. Wealth inequality, how you're treated because of the way you look, a lot of those things are being eliminated by technology." And I do think that's so true. Back in the day, being like pale and fat was a signifier of wealth, but now with all these like advancements in technology, the signifiers are now being bronzed and like hard-bodied and having clear skin, because like the richest people are now able to buy those things or buy access to those lifestyles that make those things easier. Like back in 2021, there were these paparazzi images that were circulating of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez on like a yacht. And people were kind of like, whoa, Jeff Bezos got so ripped. He looks like some bizarro Vin Diesel. Like if you look at Jeff Bezos in the 90s, you're like, bro, what? He looks unrecognizable, except he's just still bald. But it's like, you know, we're seeing that happening with like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, which is just such a far cry from like that Silicon Valley anti-try-hard ethos that they were going for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I drink Red Bull and I have a pudgy stomach. Like, that's not the vibe anymore.
No, they're like, it used to be like, you're the nerd, you can't get a girl, and then you like make a lot of money. And then...
Exactly. And now that's just not the thing anymore.
Even thinking about Ozempic, Ozempic is really fucking expensive to get in the States prescribed to you. So that's also sort of like something that's like a signifier of wealth.
It's getting cheaper. No, I know. Exactly. And, you know, yeah, like now that these tech oligarchs have adopted the alpha male signifiers, like, you know, they don't need to. If we're going with a hype, like the 80-20 rule, like they could just like buy love and attention if they wanted to. So there's this anthropologist named Kristen Godsey who has this really interesting quote about this. She talks about how, and she gets exactly at what you were getting at. She talks about how like men think that they won't get women if they're poor. And now they know that they'll never be able to be like a Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg. So, quote, "they're looking for alternatives, something near at hand. That's where this jacked up masculinity comes in. It's cheaper." I do think that a lot of incels don't make a lot of money. Like, I don't think it's a particularly high...
It's not a lucrative endeavor, being an incel?
Well, no, but it's not their endeavor, but, like, in their regular lives, like, I don't think it's a particularly high-earning group, necessarily. I would need to look more at statistics, but, like, a lot of them don't make a lot of money. A lot of them are, like, also disenfranchised teenagers. So, like, they're looking for a way to substitute that economic disenfranchisement by spending money on their looks. Because they think they're disenfranchised, like, romantically, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, yeah, they're like, let's focus on the beauty instead. I keep thinking about how all this feels just like one big literal and like metaphorical eating disorder. Do you get what I mean by that?
I think when you feel like instability in other avenues of your life and insecurity, it's like so many people turn to the way they look as like, you know, or your body at least. It's like this one thing that you feel like you can maybe exercise some power over, or at least like, obviously not everybody, but like, I think it makes a lot of sense that it would like working out can be an addiction, but then like...
Totally. A lot of sober people become gym addicts. Like,
well, totally. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is like certainly about control. It's about discipline. It's about like implementing rules for yourself. And also like sometimes it can maybe function as a form of like self-punishment, right? Like I think that like if you feel like you're the worst and you feel like the whole world looks down on you and like you're disenfranchised for like this sort of deeply personal reason, like rather than an institutional one or like a social one, then it makes sense that like you would be kind of carrying that around in every situation you go. And like, I think that self-hatred leads people to like want to kind of give themselves unnecessary burdens to take on. And I think part of that would be, you know, the financial and like temporal burden even of just like letting all of your time and attention go towards something like your looks.
Like an eating disorder, like kind of externalizing this kind of need for control.
If you feel like you're not worthy, then like you're never going to be happy with your own approval. So obviously you're going to need some kind of like social approval or validation. So you're just going to keep seeking it out. Like you're never going to hit a point where you're like, I'm beautiful. You're going to need like 500 sluts to tell you that.
500.
Yeah. I'm sure they have a special golden number that means like if this many women think you're hot, then like you actually are scientifically hot or something.
I would love to make that. Like that's the merch of our podcast. Just like a t-shirt that says 500 sluts on it.
Oh, if we ever do it, that's a good one. Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. Karim Shami actually almost says this verbatim in an interview. He's like, "As a young person in Syria, I lost control. I live my life with the idea that I strive towards stability. he and his family like fled the Syrian civil war. So his case is obviously way more extreme. But, you know, what he's getting at, maybe without realizing it, is that we turn to these external factors to like soothe ourselves in the midst of like societal decline. I don't think he's a misogynist. He seems just like a young guy who was extremely insecure. And like, he does seem to want to help other people. Maybe he's a grifter. There's a lot to criticize him about. Obviously, he's like selling these pretty pseudo-scientific like practices, like mewing to people. But he's not the more extreme of these incels. There does feel like an increase in attempts at control among like all genders. Like just looking at r/looksmaxing, like it getting absorbed by like the general population. But it does kind of manifest in a very specific way with men. Like there's a reason that we're not calling a lot of this an ED, you know, but using like random internet jargon. I'm actually noticing it around the men I know as well. I kind of wonder if they're like catching on to these harmful practices that women have been practicing forever because they feel like their sense of control is slipping. Control that like women never had to begin with. You know what I mean?
Have you seen John Mulaney's new jawline?
No.
Well, that's the thing is like, I think a lot of people are accusing certain like male celebrities of getting chin implants and like getting their jawlines done, which is kind of random.
I think the seedlings of this were planted from the incel community and it's like expanding outwards because these original incels felt this, oh, like men are losing control in society. Like, you know, men aren't going to college as much. Men are doing this, like male loneliness epidemic, all this stuff. I don't know. It's interesting. But then like expanding outside of that, I do think this constant like rat race to pursue empty goals, like having good skin or like big lips or like strong jaws is just a really clever way for this oligarchy to divide us. Like just situating Jeff Bezos in this conversation, it just feels like it gets us to ignore our class oppression. And instead of making us criticize the people who oppress us, we're pushing us to like idolize their bodies instead and try to look like them, you know?
Also, it like lends this like false idea of proximity because you're like, okay, yeah, if I can't make as much money as Jeff Bezos, but I can still like replicate him or like have a little bit of what he has by looking like him.
Yeah. And like venerate him, even though he is the reason you're disenfranchised. You know, he is the reason, not women, that these men are feeling these ways. Like, you know, it's I don't think all of us joining the looksmaxing subreddit is going to bring us together. I think it's making it worse, even.
A culture of people hellbent on, like, self-optimization at any cost. It's, like, so funny. Like, there's a uniformity in us all trying to look the same, but we've never been more alienated from each other than ever. So it's like we look alike, but we have no connection to one another. I think that that is doing a great favor to people who are, yeah, trying to keep us at bay, trying to keep us oppressed. You know how time-consuming it is to want to be hot? Thinking you're ugly is a full-time fucking job. It's like, it's insane. And I feel like, as a woman, I constantly feel like the bar is being raised for, like, how coiffed and how, like, put together you're supposed to look.
Get me off this hamster wheel. I'm tired.
I think we should all just embrace ugly and not in, like, a bedhead is back because of the recession way. We should all just, like, be ugly and smell. I think we should just collectively, like, if all of us women stop trying, then maybe the men will stop trying. And then, like, we can start trying a little bit because
it's actually on women to fix this problem.
Apparently, men are too busy getting their jaws done. Thank you.